speak to us through your word. Thank you for your living word. Lord, thank you that when we open its pages or when we listen online or anytime we hear your word, Lord, preached or in any venue, we thank you that your word, Lord, is life. We thank you that you said, Jesus, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Thank you for your living word, Lord. And we ask that you would speak to us right now through it, Lord. We ask that you would get me out of the way, and thank you for revealing yourself, your ways, your expectations through your word. And we thank you that when Scripture speaks, you speak. And so, Lord, speak now. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Let us hear what you have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wanted to look this morning at grace. Think about that word, grace. And think about this acrostic when you think about grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good picture of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I love the definition of grace. It's a free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that God just pours out upon you like a waterfall, just continuously. He pours out his free, unearned, undeserved favor upon you. Grace. God's riches, all his blessings, his favor pouring out upon you. God's riches, it's free, absolutely free to you. It's unearned and it's undeserved. But it's at Christ's expense. But it actually cost a whole lot. We'll see how much it costs a little bit later as we remember the cost and what Jesus did for us. But it was at his expense. He paid for it. It's free to you. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. You really see grace in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn there with me. And if you'll notice in your worship bulletin, there's an area called His Word for You. And if you want to read through all of God's Word and not miss some of it, but read all that He has for you personally and devotionally, just go to that His Word for You and just do that each day. And within a year, you'll read more than His whole Word. And at this time, anyway, my preaching, the messages come from whatever you've read that week. So let's look at Ephesians 2. Look at these first 10 verses and see grace. See grace here. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see God's grace right there in those first 10 verses. And also what you see there is dead, but made alive. Dead, but made alive. That was you. That's how we all start, dead, spiritually dead to God. But you can be, any one of us, you can be made alive by God. When you're dead spiritually in your transgressions and sins, which is how we all start, there's great hope. God wants to make you alive, and He does it. He does it. Let's look at it. So, first of all, you were dead. You were dead. Look at that. We see that in the first three verses there. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. This is all of us, all humanity, all people. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. However, much of humanity still is. Until you've repented and you've believed in Jesus and you put your faith in, until then, you still are in this state. This is to believers. But as for you, you were dead. If you're a believer today, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who's the devil. That's the devil. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We were all there. Those first three verses, that's the description for every one of us in our lives. When we reached that age of accountability as a child, somewhere in there, we knew of our sinfulness. And in that time when God began to hold us accountable for our sins, this was all of us. We were all here in these first three verses. And you see, it's dangerous for some people. See, some people don't admit that this was them. These first three verses, you hear it sometimes. I can't think of anything I've ever done wrong. I've been in the church all my life since I can remember, and I was in the nursery, and then I just received Jesus, but that's not what God says. God says, These first three verses, this is where we were. We were every human being. You've got to admit this about yourself. These first three verses, you've got to say, whether I understand it or not or realize it or not, you've got to say, I was there. I admit that. I am those first three. I was in those first three verses. I was dead in my transgressions and sins. That means spiritually you were dead. You couldn't have a relationship with God. God can't be in the presence of sin. You are dead to God spiritually. And if you die that way, you'll be separated from Him eternally, forever. You'll be in hell apart from Him forever. So I was dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and so were you. We all were. If you're a believer here today, or if you're not a believer yet, you're still in this place. You're still in the first three verses. If you have not repented yet and believed and given your life to Jesus, you're still in these first three verses. Dead in sins in which you used to live in your sins before you came to Christ. When you followed the ways of this world and of the rule, the natural way, human nature, you follow it. The ways of the world and of the kingdom, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. People don't even realize it, but if God's not your father, if you haven't repented and if God isn't your father yet, Jesus told some Pharisees that thought they were very religious and righteous, He said, the devil is your father. It's one or the other. There's no black and white. If God's not your father yet, if you haven't repented and put your faith in Jesus, the devil is your father. And you're following his ways. You might not even realize, you might not even believe in the devil. It doesn't matter. He's still got you. And you're following his ways. You're so deceived, you don't even realize it. You don't understand it. But that's where we all were. Followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's anybody who hasn't believed yet. All of us. See, that's how you got to admit it. That's how it's every one of us. All of us also lived among them at one time. We've all been there until you become a believer. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. Like everybody on the face of the earth who has not given their lives to Christ yet. Everyone who has not put their faith in Christ yet and been saved. Like the rest. Like anybody who hasn't done that yet. We were by nature objects of wrath. So anybody who has not given their lives to Christ, repented, put their faith in Christ, they're objects of wrath. The wrath of God is soon coming upon them. And if they don't repent and come, when they pass away, they'll experience that death, that hell, the wrath of God, that experience, that separation from God. So, do you admit it? Do you admit it about yourself? We were all there. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You were dead. You were there. God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, before you get God's riches, you have to understand what predicament you were in and how poor and destitute you were. You weren't even just poor and destitute and spiritually needy. No, God says you were dead. You were dead in your transgressions. You weren't even alive to God. Anybody who hadn't come to the Lord yet, they're not even alive. They're dead. And I mean, not even alive. There's a secular group that I used to love before I really started following Jesus, Pearl Jam, a rock band. And I used to, one of my favorite songs was this song, Alive. And even they talked about this, you know, what they were talking about. And the lead singer was mentioning, you know, some terrible things that had gone on in his past that he had to go through and experience and stuff. And he would sing this song and he'd say, you know, and this happened and this. And then he'd come to the chorus and he'd say, you know, all that happened, but hey, 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 I, oh, I'm still alive. Hey, hey, I, oh, I'm still alive. What was the whole cry of that song was, you know, all these terrible things happened to me. Hey, but at least I'm still alive. I'm still alive. And he's, as far as I know, that band was not following the Lord or anything. And so these are probably unbelievers saying, hey, at least I'm still alive. You know, it's worse than that. No, you're not. According to God's word, no, you're not even alive. You're dead. If you don't know Christ yet, you're dead. It's worse than you think. The unbeliever can say, well, at least I'm still alive. No. It's even worse than that. And that's where we all were. But you know, when you understand how bad this news is for every one of us, then you see it makes God's good news that much better. When you understand how bad off you were, the good news is that much better. You know, maybe when you were a kid, I don't know, when we were younger, many times we used to like to go get in a hotel, you know, be in the hot tub for a while and get real hot and then go and jump in the pool. And then the pool was extra cold. What's going on there? Because we were so hot, you get in the pool and it's extra colder. If you're in the pool a long time and you're kind of cold and you go and get in the hot tub, it's extra hot. Well, in the same way, when you understand your predicament and how bad off you were, or if you haven't come to Christ yet, how bad you are off right now, when you understand that, then when you understand what God did for you and the good news and you come to Him, it's that much better. It's that much better. So you were dead. Following, how does God put it? Following the Spirit at work in those who are disobedient. All were there once. All of us were there. Do you admit it? We were all objects of wrath. We were objects of God's wrath. But, here's the good news, but, made alive. Now we get into verses 4 through 7. But, you were made alive. You were dead, but made alive. Look at verses 4 through 7. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God made you alive. If you're a believer here today, you were in that state of deadness, and God made you alive. There was nothing you could do. What did he say over and over? What does he say in this passage over and over? It's by grace. It's his gift to you. He did all the hard work that we're going to look at in a minute. But it's by grace. It's a gift to you. He made you alive through Christ Jesus by his grace. And you see God's riches here in verses 4 through 7. He's talking about his mercy and his grace and his kindness expressed to us and his love. And you begin to see his riches. God's riches at Christ's expense. So before you get God's riches, realize how poor you were. You were dead. And then, but made alive. Then that's when God's riches start to come to you as a gift. He just gives them to you. He's just giving you, offering you his riches. God's riches given to you. In verse 4, he's rich in mercy because of his love and his grace. Verse 5, God made us alive while we were dead in transgressions. Verse 6, he raised us up with Christ. Once you believed, he raised you up with Christ and he seated you with Christ. And he's given these incomparable riches of his grace and his kindness to you in Christ Jesus. God's riches. He made you alive. Given you that as a gift. Wow. You were dead, but made alive. And next is, well, how'd he do it? You didn't do it. You didn't have any part of it. It's not by works. He did it. How did he do it? How did he do it? It's verses 8 and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How'd he do it? By the cross. How'd he do it? The wages of sin is death. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. The penalty upon us is death and hell. How'd he do it? He came to rescue us in the person of Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son of God and God himself. That's who he is. He came down from heaven. Lived on this earth 33 years, and he lived the perfect life you could never live. And then somehow in that Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating drops of blood, and he came to take all of your sins upon him. All your transgressions, everything you've ever done and ever will do, and all the sin of the world. And God put it on him, and you were his object of wrath, remember? But then all of a sudden, Jesus became his object of wrath, because all the bad and all your sin, your sinful nature, it was all put on him. And then he became the object of wrath. And he went to that cross and God poured out his wrath on Jesus. And Jesus paid for all your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. God is a just God. So he's got to pay for somebody's got to pay for the sin. And Jesus did it for you. And so he paid. He died for you, paid for those sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. And now everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, if you admit that about yourself, that you were there, or currently right now today, if you haven't come to Jesus yet, if you admit that you are there, you're dead in your transgressions and sins, life is worse than Eddie Vedder thought in Pearl Jam for you. If you, if you're there, admit it and then believe Jesus did all that for you. That's how he did it. And he wants to give you God's riches. He wants to give you all that. And how did he do it? How did he do it? At Christ's expense. He paid for it all for you. He took the tab for you. Whatever it costs to get to heaven, paying for all your sins, experiencing that death and that hell, he paid it for you. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. And if you repent, if you turn from yourself and you believe and you trust him to save you from your sins and call on him, Jesus, that's me, I admit it. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. He does it. He'll do it for you. It's by grace that you have been saved. So let's remember how he did it here. And I want to invite our deacons to come at this time. And if you're a baptized believer here this morning, we invite you to take his supper. Let's get this visual picture. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He had this last supper. And he wants us to remember what he did for us. God's riches at Christ's expense. We need to remember that expense, that he gave his life for you. He died for your sins.